So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight.
Listen to review
me. Right now, right? That's what you say. We get it by now.
Security's been called. This monstrous vehicle must be stopped before it can... Oh! It just rammed into the Legend Mobile.
Stranger, you just dug your own grave.
Yes! The Undertaker is fighting back! This demonic driver picked a fight with the wrong... Wait a minute! Is that a scorpion tail?
The curse of Inferno is upon you. End this race or suffer.
Doesn't seem neighborly at all.
Looks like Dusty is going to teach this monster a lesson.
We going to get funky like a monkey.
Vintage Dusty Rhodes. The American dream is off his feet.
Dusty! Run, creature! But you can't hide! In the end, no man or beast escapes the Undertaker!
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We need some help from you now. Come on, Scooby-Doo, I see you pretending you got a sliver. You're not fooling me, 'cause I can see the way you shake and shiver. You know we got a mystery to solve, so Scooby-Doo, be ready for your act. Don't hold back. And Scooby-Doo, if you come through, you're gonna have yourself a Scooby snack. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, here are you. You're ready and you're willing. If we can count on you, Scooby-Doo, I know we'll catch that villain.
Welcome, everybody, to Review Away. I'm John Pollock, and next to me is Wei Ting. How's it going, Wei?
Hello. That was a terrible Wei Ting impression.
That is fucking awful. That is offensive.
Watch your language, first of all, Wei. We shouldn't be swearing. This is a PG show.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Yes, of course. It actually is a PG show this week.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It is. I don't even think it's PG. It's probably like a G with like a little something.
Yeah.
People actually used to say that we sounded alike, I guess.
Who said that?
Remember when I first started What's Next with Jason Agnew? I got many, many tweets saying that me and you sound alike.
So, I don't hear.
We haven't gotten any of these messages in like a year, 2 years. But
let me think about that, because like obviously we look nothing alike.
I mean a little bit.
I don't even think a little bit.
I mean, but I'm a little chubbier, but
I would say like genetically, we probably come from direct polar opposites,
right,
of the world.
That's fair.
So
well. Yeah.
What's your background?
My mom was born in Portugal, actually. I don't think I've ever said that on but I'm half Portuguese, but I look white as fuck. So I'm like a remix.
Aren't Portuguese people white?
Portuguese people are like tanned so nicely. I just burn. My dad is like white bread, like Harrington. My last name is Harrington. Yeah. Like it's just like English,
it's like
Irish.
A Doctor Who.
Yeah, like my grandma's name is Doris. Like that's how white I am. But my mom is from Portugal, like from the islands and stuff. But she came here to Canada when she was really young. So technically, I'm just like Portuguese Canadian. But you would look at me and you would not know. Okay. I got like a ginger beard, man.
Yeah,
and then,
you do.
And then
how did that happen?
Well, Scottish, I'd assume.
Yeah, I guess.
But apparently, like some old great great grandfather on the island in Portugal somewhere. Azores had an orange beard in my family.
Maybe he had an affair with some
there you
Irish
go.
Lad.
Yeah.
Lad. Sorry.
I mean,
lad.
No, I wouldn't be here if that happened.
Not that.
Yeah.
Not that.
And then you're from Canada.
No. No, man. I'm from China.
Were you born
I
in China?
I don't believe I have any
German or, sorry, Irish at all or Portuguese.
You could.
No, I was born in Hong Kong.
Okay.
So.
Well.
Yeah.
Well.
Which is China, which is the home place of Ho Ho Lun.
Yeah, yes. Your favorite wrestler, yes, our favorite wrestler. I've come to love yes. him. But you told me that you're off air. You told me that you were going to Japan.
Yes, I am.
So what's the reasoning there? Because
I've said this on air too. I'm just going on vacation.
Like you just decided to choose?
No, because there were my friend informed me of like a cheap flight.
Okay,
like for like $600.
Yeah, to cut you off is because another guy who works here in captioning at the Fight Network was literally just telling me a few hours ago how he's going on vacation to Japan in a few weeks because it was so cheap.
Yeah.
So
who is it?
Andrew, who's a captioner.
I don't know who that is.
He said it's cheap in October to go to Japan, Tokyo.
I guess so. I mean, I don't think it's a flight that you could just randomly look for.
I'm jealous.
It's just a special, but yeah, well, I recommended it. I told John, I told Milt to go, hey, if you guys ever wanted to go to Japan, watch a Japanese wrestling.
I want to go to like Wrestle Kingdom. When's that? Yeah. In January?
That's December. It's January 1st, yeah. Like January 4th, right. Around that time.
Okay, well, I'm going. That's it. I want to travel so bad, but now I have this job and I can't travel.
Oh, yeah. So. It's money, too.
Yes.
Once you work here at the Fight Network for, like, a little bit, save that up, and then just quit. Be done with this place. Leave while you can. Don't stay for, like, 10-plus years like John and I have.
Okay. And go to Japan?
And go to Japan.
My career, forever. I'll be like a wrestler.
You know
I'll
what? You, can get big in, you should teach English in Japan.
I have a buddy who teaches English in Thailand. And he sends me Snapchats of his Thailand students singing Drake all the time.
Wow.
It's great.
What song?
Every day is like different ones. Nothing off Views because, you know, it's a little softer. That's more of like a, you know, pop album. But like some of his other stuff, like the heavier rap stuff, he plays it for his kids and he tells them, you know, he snaps at me and goes, okay, go. And then the little kids will be like.
Like running through the six
with
my woes?
Running through Bangkok with their woes.
Oh my God. That sounds great.
Yeah.
So you've been working now at the Fight Network. For people who don't know Braden, obviously you know him from What's Next and from, you know, you formerly producing The Law. Not anymore.
Yeah.
But
need to get back in there.
Now that you're not doing that, though, in the meantime, you've actually got a job here at the Fight Network where John and I work for our day jobs.
Right. I work in master control and like a little bit of it's like a half trafficking. Trafficking would be bad. Traffic and master control. Yeah. It's like a little bit of both worlds there.
So Braden's job is to essentially watch TV.
Watch wrestling.
And just to make sure our signal is up and the Fight Network doesn't go down.
Just yesterday I was learning something new where I had to go through like our hard drives of all the stuff that we have that we play on the Fight Network. Yeah. This is a wrestling fan's wet dream. It's like literally you name a wrestling company that we have like in our hard drive and I can access like – everything, like any Ring of Honor, any New Japan, anything. CMLL, man, there's so Memphis Wrestling, crazy.
See, I don't think I'd want that.
Yeah, but you wouldn't. Anymore. You, me, John, you know, we've seen enough wrestling.
Yeah.
You guys mostly. But I'm talking to someone listening right now. Yeah, you sure. Probably are like, man, that sounds amazing. Because it's like you have everything on a hard drive.
So since you've been working here, you've been watching a lot more wrestling.
Oh yeah, I was just watching Nakamura and Tanahashi from Tokyo Dome from a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm just a lot of British wrestling, like ICW and British Wrestling Weekly. It's okay. It's not my favorite, but I'm super into the New Japan stuff. And Mauro Ranallo calling it makes it like fantastic.
Yeah, you might be rivaling John Pollock now in terms of how, you know.
Yeah, I literally
watched.
Actually watch more wrestling than him now. Technically, I do because I have 11-hour shifts and it's all wrestling. So I'm just watching it. So I think I beat him technically. But yeah, and we air CMLL and AAA as well.
CMLL does the best for us, I hear.
Really?
Or at least like I get ratings reports once in a while and CMLL is it constantly performs well.
Wow, maybe in the international side or
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I think we're just talking Canada.
Even. Oh, wow. Well,
but it always surprises me.
That's crazy. How well CMLL yeah. Does. I used to watch it when we used to get it like on like the whatever channels it used to air on in Canada. I remember watching it casually, but I'm not too into those. But definitely the New Japan and ICW I've been watching.
So what's it been like working overnights, doing 11-hour shifts?
It's awful. You drink I stopped drinking coffee, and I switched to tea. And then
what reason?
The reason was like, I used to have double doubles, Tim Hortons. It's like crack here in Canada. It's delicious. So then I switched to two milk, one sugar. And then sometimes I don't even get sugar. But
do you realize, like, I don't think people say double-double outside of Canada.
No, if you go to the States anywhere, it's like a foreign word, like double-double. Yeah. I once was working when I traveled for some work, and I was in Detroit. And the person I was working with was like, hey, let me get you guys a coffee. Like, how do you take it? And not thinking, I said double-double. And they're like, what does that mean? I'm like, oh, it's
you want a basketball? you want a ball right now or what?
They're like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I'm like, oh, like two milk or two cream and two sugar. And they're like, oh, so a double? I'm like, yeah, double-double. They're like, oh, okay. They gave me a coffee that was literally like just all sugar and all cream. It was disgusting.
How did they mistake
exactly
that?
They took the milk and sugar and then like doubled it again. So double of the double.
Okay, so their typical amount of milk.
It
and
was
sugar.
Gross.
Their average amount of milk and sugar is already what you would.
I don't
double,
know,
double?
Man. It was like a warm milkshake. It was gross.
Maybe they thought like he wants. Like, just a cup of milk plus sugar with double shots of coffee.
It was like wake up. It was not even that. It was just, don't do it. I just need a little bit of milk. If I make coffee at home, just a little bit of milk.
So you switched to tea.
I switched to tea. I started going to like Teavana, David's Tea.
Oh, that fancy tea stuff?
But like I have green tea as well. Because I know you're a big fan, and you're always drinking green tea.
I've been kind of off the green tea now.
I know. Usually I come in here on Monday nights when you're watching Raw, and I haven't seen you been drinking your green tea.
It's not enough of a kick for me.
It doesn't anymore. Wake me up enough. Yeah. Like, that's the problem. So the tea that I've been having is like this like white peach tea thing going on. I don't know. It was good. But, yeah, it just eventually, like, I need the caffeine kind of thing. So today I had a coffee. Today I had my Timmy's, but...
We really appreciate you filling in for John on his much-needed week off. Not even really a week off because he's still coming in to do our other shows.
That's terrible. But, yeah. And, I mean, I'm sure he's dodging a bullet. I don't know if he really wanted to watch this.
He definitely did not want to.
He probably watched it anyways.
John's a serious journalist of the group, and he will not soil his name.
It's true.
By watching the Scooby-Doo... Curse of the Speed Demon.
I would have watched it anyways. So
I'm happy. I like taking these breaks and watching something that's completely off the path. But it that's still a part of the WWE machine. You know what I mean? So why don't we just get into it?
Okay.
This is what, like your 12th hour of your shift now?
Yeah, I've been awake for a while. So
on Brayden's 12th hour of his shift, what better thing to do? Then review Scooby-Doo, Curse of the Speed Demon. Right?
That's the name of it, yeah. First one was I joined you and John for the first one, which was the WrestleMania mystery.
I've got zero recollection of that.
You didn't even know that one happened.
Yeah.
You forget completely. Like, you actually did not know that.
I had no idea we even reviewed it, but apparently we did, so go back and it's
every time I go to, like, Ring of Honor or wrestling shows in the city... People were coming up to me going, you're the guy who reviewed Scooby-Doo. It was great.
Wow. So that's what you're known for.
Yeah, I'm the guy who did Scooby-Doo.
Give me a refresher. What happened in that last
review?
Oh,
God.
Because this is an indirect sequel. They do reference it.
They mention it. There's references.
So this is an indirect sequel to Scooby-Doo, the WrestleMania mystery from 2014.
Man, there's like WWE land, right? There's like WrestleMania world or something.
Yeah. We should mention this is not canon, okay? This does not relate to Raw or SmackDown.
At one point, John Cena is used as a raft or something. Remember that? Shaggy and Scoob ride John Cena literally like as a raft. He like saves them or something. It's insane.
What?
It's amazing. Yeah.
John Cena is ridden as a raft?
Yeah.
They get on Cena's back?
Yeah, yeah. And he saves them. I remember that.
There's a ghost bear, apparently.
Oh, yeah. The ghost bear is the
villain. They solved the mystery of the ghost bear.
I really don't remember what else happened. Okay. It was okay. Oh, it had a joke about how they never changed their clothes, which I, as a Scooby-Doo fan, I thought that was a well-written joke. But that was literally all I remember.
You say the same thing about wrestlers, too. They're always in uniform, always in the same
uniform. It's true, yeah,
uniform.
Yeah.
All right, Scooby-Doo and WWE, Curse of the Speed Demon. This is the third co-production between WWE and Warner Brothers Animation.
Yeah.
After the aforementioned WrestleMania Mystery and, of course, the Flintstones and WWE Stone Age SmackDown, which I'm pretty sure I didn't watch.
I have not watched that, no.
Okay, we haven't reviewed
yeah,
that,
yeah, right? Yeah. I've heard bad things about that one.
Okay.
So.
This film, I don't know if you know, Braden, but it was to prominently feature Hulk Hogan in early production.
Which one? This one we're watching right now?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that would have been so good. I'm actually kind of upset that never happened.
That guy's taken out of everything.
say that never happened and yeah. He was still good, like that would be great.
Yeah,
like,
unless he was a speed demon. Although he wouldn't be that fast. He'd be like a, you know,
feel a little... You can be a demon.
Hobbling demon.
Yeah, with a bad back.
But they took him out. And I wonder, like, watching the show, the movie, I wonder what role he was supposed to have.
Well, The Undertaker is a prominent role in this movie. He is maybe the lead in this movie, I'd say.
It makes sense.
And I think that would be the spot for Hulk Hogan.
Wait a second, though, but...
Because he's in the Legends Mobile with Dusty Rhodes.
I know, but you have... Taker taking on the speed demon, and that naturally makes sense. They're both supernatural characters. Well, you can't have Hulk Hogan take on a speed demon.
Hulk Hogan can take on anything.
Especially
Gawker.
Gawker, yeah. All right. Let me just, before we get into the actual review, I want to talk about the cast, okay?
And yeah, this is a big cast.
I want to talk a little bit about Scooby-Doo in general, because I'm certainly not a fan.
Of Scooby-Doo?
Not in particular.
Okay.
I didn't grow up watching it.
Okay, I did.
Way before my time. I don't know how you did. How did you get into
it? It had
Scooby-Doo?
A huge resurgence in like the 90s.
We're talking the original Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, well, my personal favorite is the original series, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? It's still like my favorite.
From the 60s?
Yeah. It's so good. Like, it's my favorite.
What is the appeal?
It's almost like it's like a detective mystery thing, but in a kid...
For kids?
Yeah. It's like...
How deep can you
Every
can
episode
get?
Is like a basis. Like, every episode, there's a thing that happens in it. Like a
mystery.
So it's like, okay, here's... In the beginning of the episode, we see something bad that happens. And we see, like, the villain or something. And then there's a list of suspects throughout the entire episode. And they always try to swerve you. So it's like wrestling. They always try to swerve you, like, oh, old man Withers... might have a reason to be the old guy who, you know, oh, the building might close down. Well, maybe, you know, they're trying to keep it alive by being the monster. Like, there's always, like, trying to little swerves and things like that. Then, you know, we have the gang investigate, find clues, because you always got to split up and find clues. And then, you know, they got to try to trap the monster. They of course, they run into the monster. Scooby and Shaggy always get in trouble. And then... They set a trap, and the trap fails, but then while failing, they catch the monster, and they reveal that it's actually a person. Scooby-Doo always taught you that the real monsters are humans, that people are actually monsters. This is some deep shit, man.
I guess, apparently. You ever thought about this, though? I'm just going to blow your mind right now.
Yeah, tell me.
What if Scooby-Doo himself was a human?
I mean, well,
there's a human underneath that suit. How else could you explain
him talking? I mean, they never really do explain. Scooby himself always goes wrong.
He's the monster.
He could
be.
He's kind of scary. Yeah, he could be. But I feel like Scooby-Doo is so popular because people, like, you know, when you see like a poster for like. This is going to sound like mean, but like you see a poster for like missing dog and you instantly go, oh, like that's so sad. And then you see a picture like missing person. You're like, oh, that sucks. You always feel like, oh, like the dog, like, or in a movie, like someone shoots, I Am Legend, like the dog in that movie gets killed and you're like, oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, so innocent.
Yeah. And then the people, you're like, ah, whatever. So I feel like that's why Scooby-Doo is maybe so popular because like the kids like love the dog and they talk. Yeah, but
he's innocent.
Shaggy's my favorite character anyways. Shaggy is always.
All right, let's get into the cast.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, so yeah, Shaggy here is played by Matthew Lillard, the same actor who played him in the actual live action.
Yeah, ever since he was cast as him and Shaggy,
Casey Kasem used to actually be the original
voice. That's right, yeah. Radio legend.
Okay, so tell me about Shaggy. Like, what is he?
Shaggy is, I don't know how to lightly
these put guys them. Are all supposed to be, they're supposed to be stoners, right? Shaggy and
essentially, yes.
Scooby.
Like Scooby snacks with quotations, right? Yeah. If you've ever seen How I Met Your Mother, they reference that every time Ted and Marshall and all the friends eat a sandwich,
yeah,
it's because they're actually just smoking a joint. Well, some say that that joke is coming from Scooby-Doo because they love to quote-unquote eat all the time, whereas they're probably just smoking up.
So. Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Yes.
okay, so he and Shaggy, best friends, they're just,
yeah,
you know, the stoners and the lovable stoners who end up being the heroes in a lot of the stories.
They're always the heroes.
Gotcha.
Right.
All
right,
tell me about Daphne. What's up with Daphne?
Daphne is like the hot girl who, she's usually the damsel in distress, which she's always like, you know, she's always got to be pretty and she's got to have, in this movie, she relates with Stephanie McMahon, whereas like they're both like rich and they love to dress nice and the fancy dresses, always dressed up nice and, you know, the girly girls, like the girls who go out and get dressed up. And
she'd be on Total Divas.
Yeah, exactly. She would be a diva. Yeah,
gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we also have, of course, Fred.
Yeah, Fred reminds me of Leonardo from the Ninja Turtles. He's like the leader.
The
you know
leader.
What I mean? But he's no one's favorite.
The
Does
leader.
Anyone, do you know anyone who goes, oh, my favorite Ninja Turtle is Leonardo? No. No one likes Leonardo.
No, it's Ralph
and
for
no
me.
One really likes Fred, but, you know.
Yeah,
you gotta have the leader.
He's too straight-laced.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
he's got a little goofiness, but yeah, he's
football captain. But like, I'd say, like in this movie, he comes across as like so stuck in the '60s. I mean, I
well,
guess
yeah, that's the whole point of the show. Yeah.
I guess they all are. So okay, of course we have who I'm told is your favorite.
Yes,
Velma.
Yes, the love of my life. Velma is
the
she's
nerd.
Like, she's like the aloof, quirky, nerdy, geeky girl, but you know she is.
Oh, you're into that.
Oh, she always has this appeal to me, like her turtleneck and her glasses and her I can't find my glasses and you know jinkies and all that things. But
what the hell? What does jinkies mean?
It's like her catchphrase, like jinkies, like
it's like shit.
Pretty much, yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Shaggy has zoinks and she has jinkies and Fred has will split up because they always split up in every show. I wonder what Fred and Daphne are doing when they split up, though. It always boggles my mind. Like,
what do you mean?
He always goes,
he's going
me and Daphne,
Daphne
will go this way and you guys go that way. Because it's like,
we're
doing
it, of course.
Yeah, of course. It's the 60s.
Did you know that Velma in this movie is voiced by Kate Micucci from Garfunkel & Oates?
I did know that, yes. Yeah. I still think she's that
she
actress,
looks like Daphne.
Yeah, I think she's cute.
Oh, sorry, Velma.
Yeah, Velma. I think she's cute, and I was a fan of
Garfunkel
and Oates. Yes.
I love that show.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, not to be outdone by the original cast of Scooby-Doo,
yes.
We have the WWE's offering.
Oh boy,
they're Mystery Inc. And they are of course led by the Undertaker, Triple H and Steph, Goldust, Sheamus, Stardust. Dusty Rhodes is in this, who had actually already recorded all of his lines prior to his death. So production for this, you could assume, was already in full swing prior to far more than a year ago. And they were probably recording all their voices maybe not long after the last one wrapped or came out. We have The Miz. We have Paige. We have Los Matadores, to show you how dated this might be. Lana and Rusev. And then we have Michael Cole. Kofi Kingston, who in this plays a reporter.
It's great.
Who, as far as I know, has never reported at all
I mean,
for
maybe
the WWE.
Before he became a wrestler.
I guess, maybe. And we have Vince McMahon, of course. And these are all the wrestlers doing their own voices.
For a movie about, like, racing, there's no Sparky Plug, which I was disappointed.
Oh, you think he could have been the legend?
I think he could have been.
I don't know how many kids will remember Bob Sparky Plug.
Do you ever play the PS2 game where it's like wrestling, but there's like
that
it's like
race car? Game?
No, it was like Monster Truck. Crush Hour.
Yeah, Crush Hour.
It was like
Twisted Metal.
This movie is exactly that. Like pretty much.
Okay.
It's like a race, but it's like the yeah.
I mean, I wonder. You know, I'm watching this and I'm wondering why a race? Why
make
a
sense,
race?
No.
But I guess, like, market research or whatever would suggest kids love races.
I'm pretty sure I said this on the first review of the WrestleMania mystery, that to me, the WrestleMania mystery was like a Scooby-Doo script that was kind of like it wasn't good enough, and then they just added the WWE thing to give it that catch, and I think they did it with this one as well. They're like,
a weak Scooby-Doo script.
Yeah, it's like a weak storyline, so they're like, let's just add this. And like, honestly, a lot of this story, this is like an hour and 20 minutes, a lot of it is not great.
No, no.
A lot of it is and a lot of it isn't. So.
No. What did you think about the cast of wrestlers that they chose to take part in?
Yeah, yeah. I thought hearing The Undertaker do normal movie lines and like do comedy,
yeah.
essentially it's
yeah.
comedy, yeah. was so fantastic. So if like you're listening and you have not watched this but you love The Undertaker, check it out.
Definitely a different side of The Undertaker.
Yeah, it's so cool.
That I personally was a little caught off guard by because we know that he's usually so protective of his character, definitely to the point where he wouldn't even go to the Hall of Fame, much less do comedy in a kid's TV movie.
He has some laugh out loud moments in this for me. Like he has a few lines where it's very funny. So.
Yeah. Like at one point I wondered if it was just an impersonator because there were times where it didn't even sound like him, in my opinion, because you never hear him talk like this. You never hear him solve mysteries.
I also like Triple H and Vince McMahon, hearing them just because to me, like, I'm a little younger. So when I grew up, like, Triple H was so, like, he was the guy, he was a scary heel. Like, he was the badass guy. And now he's doing Scooby-Doo movies. Like, it's great. And Vince McMahon was in the last one. He was funny in this, too.
He was good, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, did you have any other thoughts on any of the other characters that they chose?
Yeah, Los Matadores was weird. Like, why was that even a choice anyways?
It's probably for Torito.
Yeah.
You know? Like, clearly the people they chose here were all, you know, chosen because they identify with
It's too bad. It would have been better because Sin Cara was in the last one.
Yeah.
I feel like the Lucha Dragons are like, this is where like a Rey Mysterio would be so great because it's like.
I wonder if Kalisto would have even been signed by the time. Or like brought up to the
roster. Yeah, probably was not. I mean, they are still the Los Matadores in this movie.
Yeah.
They're not even that character now. So
I'll say like characters like Lana and Rusev, I thought translated perfectly to cartoon form.
I thought they were great too.
Because they essentially play these stereotypical Russian cartoon characters anyway.
Right, yeah.
So I thought like Lana in real life, you think her accent is just awful because it's so fake.
I love her real voice though. Actually,
I don't think I've heard her real voice
man.
Yet.
She's easy on the eyes, but she has a great voice too. Yeah. She should do it.
But like Lana in cartoon seems. Like it fits perfectly because
it does. They came across as like the side heel characters here.
Yes,
remember like this is a Scooby Doo movie. Me watching it as a Scooby Doo fan, I'm looking at suspects way.
Oh, okay.
Right away, and there's main suspects. So.
Okay, I want you to tell me. okay, let's just get into a bit of the story. So, we are talking about the WWE's. Apparently, Vince has, you know. Guy, the football didn't work out for him. Bodybuilding didn't work out for him. Now he's decided to get into off-road racing. So the WWE is now holding their own off-road racing event called Muscle Moto X Off-Road Challenge with a $1 million grand prize. So
crazy.
Insane. I mean,
WrestleMania town or whatever.
I'm sure his investors probably wouldn't be happy
that he's just gonna throw his people into these cars,
$1 million into this thing.
It's pretty strange storyline again, but it just you look at it like check out.
Kids love cars.
Yeah,
though.
just check out of reality for this movie.
And so each superstar has his own custom car that they race with. So you have Sheamus. With, you know, and they all have funny names. Like Sheamus has the Celtic Cruiser. Lana and Rusev have the Moscow Express. And so the teams are also a little weird because Sheamus is forced to team with Stardust and Goldust in their own vehicle.
Right.
And Stardust and Goldust, their use here in this movie is. They're essentially kind of like the weirdos. I guess like they are on the main roster, you know? They're like the weirdos who just pop up here and there and they annoy the shit out of Sheamus.
Yeah, they do like weird things where like they blow the dust, like they go dust.
Yeah.
And then their theme songs play and then they disappear and Sheamus is just fed up with them the whole time.
Yeah. I found the whole thing like a really interesting glimpse into how they view certain characters for certain demographics. Like you and I will probably like watch and see Stardust, and I think much of the internet community was complaining about why haven't they turned Cody? Why haven't they? You know?
Yeah.
And But I guess you also have to think about their other plans for him, including things like this, marketing him towards children.
That's true, yeah. I thought him and Stardust and Goldust didn't have too much in here, but like essentially this is Cody Rhodes' swan song in the WWE. His last piece of... same with Dusty Rhodes, essentially. Yep. This is his last piece of work.
Yeah. Miz and Paige are also a team together, and they're in a car that's called the Two Awesome. They kind of play like the female and male that don't get along.
Yep.
Probably not as great of a performance as talking smack with The Miz.
The Miz was in the first Scooby-Doo one as a small part. And there's a joke that happens in the first one, and that it took me a second to remember. He's jogging in the first one, he's going, "I'm awesome" or something. Yeah. He's doing it in this one as well.
I think he's actually very funny.
I think so, too.
He's great as a cartoon character.
Yeah, yeah. He's growing on
it. It's been a good week.
Yeah, he's having good times. It's
been a good week for The Miz. All right, so... we've got this race, the Motocross Off-Road Challenge, and the best car name I found with all of them was Triple H and Stephanie the Authority driving the company car. And, of course, they're the current leaders in the race, and Vince is surprised that Steph is involved in the race because she was the one who thought up about the whole concept, and Vince is complaining that, "Steph, you're doing too much. You're too busy. You're just doing too much." And
he doesn't want her to race because it's also dangerous. It's very dangerous. This is off-road vehicles.
Of course, we also see Taker and Dusty, and they drive. Apparently, I don't know why they're a team. Maybe Dusty was to be Hogan's role, perhaps?
It doesn't make sense to have Taker with anyone except Kane, really. Yeah. But
Taker's and Dusty are driving the Legend Mobile.
Right.
So we're taken to the first, the trials of the thing, qualifiers.
Right.
And Dusty and Taker are doing really well. They're doing their lap. And
they're first place.
But then out comes this mysterious car. And it's the Speed Demon.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell us about the Speed Demon.
Well, the Speed Demon, he's in this, like, giant machine of a car. It's, like, fiery almost. And it has, like, a scorpion tail that Michael Cole, by the way, is also in. He's commentating. He commentates the entire
race.
As if it's a wrestling match. And there's a scorpion.
He threw in lines and they're like vintage.
Yeah. He says vintage quite a few times. Yeah. So this machine of a car, this scary inferno thing comes out and it just totals the Legend Mobile. They flip and they go flying and it's just laughing.
And we see our first match of the whole cartoon. And we have Dusty Rhodes taking on the demon.
Dusty Rhodes gets out of the car. He's okay, and he goes to attack. And it's the Speed Demon is the name of this
Inferno
villain.
Is the name of the villain,
right? And Dusty tries to fight him, and he says, "We gonna get funky like a monkey." So he gets his liners in there.
Yeah,
he
really plays him up,
but he gets body slammed, and this injures Dusty.
So basically, Dusty is he does the job for the Speed Demon to set.
He does the job.
Yeah,
yeah.
To set up the ultimate match against the Undertaker, who wants to now somewhat avenge Dusty and take out this thing. The Undertaker, like you said, is really portrayed as the lead.
Yes, he is
a good guy.
Good
here.
Heel, the good face.
Yeah, yeah, he's essentially he's almost basically God in this, and. I mean, I think like everybody has a great reverence for The Undertaker, but I never really think about how a child might view him. And I think seeing something like this gives you a bit of a glimpse into how they want children to think of The Undertaker.
He's the best.
He's the best. He's like maybe even at a level above John Cena.
You know what I mean? Yes,
Cena is sort of your guy that's there all the time. He's more grounded, more down to earth. Whereas The Undertaker is like the guy who only appears once a year and... when he does...
shit goes down.
Yeah.
Essentially.
So, The Undertaker...
Taker's mad that his buddy Dusty got hurt. So, that's the storyline there. You're right. Setting up the Mania matchup here is...
Did you like the villain of this? Like,
it's better than a bear, to be honest. Yeah. But I haven't liked any Scooby-Doo villains for a while. I haven't caught up. I don't watch the newer ones. Like I'm in my 20s now. I don't need to watch Scooby-Doo movies unless if I'm with a little
watch wrestling instead.
Of course, yeah, and it's pretty much the same thing. Maybe it's because I'm older now. When I was a kid, the villains maybe were scarier or cooler, and I had like the toys and stuff like that. This one was okay. This is fine. Okay. He's just like a scary looking skeletal racer.
So this demon appears, says he wants the race to end. Says I'm gonna curse you all if you continue to race on this mountain, which is my mountain. This is the Dead Man's Curve.
Yes.
That apparently, I don't know, fuck.
Velma mentions that he was in the 30s, there was a race, and he fell off a cliff, and that's how he used it.
So Vince hires Mystery Inc., the gang.
Vince goes to them and says, I need your help. And that's when I was like, yo, this is lit. Vince McMahon just asked Mystery Inc. for help. It's great.
And Fred is like, you can count on us, gang. And so now they're doing this. Fuck, I'm not doing a great job of recapping this.
To go back to my suspect list.
Yes, please, tell me.
We have to now think, okay, we have established the villain here. Who could it be? Could it be, one
of
these
people? Who did you think of everybody?
You mentioned that Kofi Kingston is an interviewer.
He's a reporter.
Who
rides hoverboards.
There's basically a guy who's running the race, who's in Vince's ear the whole time.
The producer.
Yes, he keeps saying, Vince, like, we have to keep it going because the ratings are so good. Every time, that demon made our ratings go up. This guy is Mr. Quails or Qualls.
Okay.
He's Kofi Kingston's boss here. He is my suspect number one because he's like, oh, don't worry about the demon. Just keep racing.
And that's who I think the producers want you to think, right?
100%. So Scooby-Doo is like wrestling. They want to swerve you so bad.
Right.
So they'll throw curveballs at you, trying to get you to think. At one point, they make you think, a few points, they make you think Dusty Rhodes is, in fact, he's another suspect. They keep having, like, certain things where it cuts away when something happens and it shows Dusty, like, in the corner, dark, watching. Like,
man, I don't know how well that would have played if you had the guy who recently passed end up being the speed demon.
Mr. Quails, Kofi's boss, the producer, is my suspect number one. But,
tell me as we go along who your
for
suspects
sure, right.
are.
Okay.
So now at this point, the gang is questioning all the WWE superstars. And so, of course, we get more lines from all the superstars. And here we have the first meeting of The Undertaker with Shaggy and Scooby. And The Undertaker basically befriending the last two, recognizing these two as the guys that took care of the ghost bear from the previous movie.
What was their names? It was like Dead Meat and Skinny Man?
Yes, whatever.
I have it somewhere here, but yeah.
So The Undertaker befriends the Shaggy and Scooby, and, The Undertaker is friends with Scooby-Doo, everybody. Fred and Daphne meet Stephanie McMahon, and Daphne and Stephanie really hit it off. They both, Stephanie's like, they bond over having rich parents.
And shoes or
something.
And
their taste in shoes.
Yeah.
Steph here is portrayed as somebody who's, doing too much, who's a very, I guess, successful businesswoman in and out of the ring.
Right. They make sure she comes across as a boss.
Yeah. Dusty, was taken out and is upset that he can't compete because he really wanted this prize money for his family or for the American dream.
He wants to make a farm or something. I don't remember what he said. It was weird.
They keep saying, Dusty really needs this money so that he can fulfill his American dream. And we don't really know what it is. They decide to team Taker with Shaggy and Scooby.
Yeah, he needs a new partner because Dusty Rhodes is out. So Vince McMahon says that, Skinny Man and Dead Meat should be.
Taker had some pretty funny lines in here where he says, if the demon appears again, I'll make sure it's his last ride. And there's another portion where they see the Legend Mobile and it's all totaled and Taker's like, rust in peace.
That was a funny one. Yeah, that was one of the ones that made me laugh. So cheesy, but just so...
It's amusing to hear The Undertaker do
that's
this,
why it was so funny, because it's The Undertaker. He's so scary.
So they build a new car for Taker and Scooby and Shaggy to ride in. And
they turn a food truck. Shaggy and Scooby had a food truck that looks like a sandwich, and they turn it into Undertaker's new car.
And we proceed to the first day, first leg of the race, and the sandwich mobile that the Undertaker is driving a sandwich.
I feel like Scooby-Doo is people make references to, weed and Scooby-Doo because it's like they're always they're stoners. I feel like the writers for this one were really high.
You have to be.
The Undertaker is riding a sandwich car. Like, what?
And I feel like you have to be high to watch
this. I know. I might rewatch it and see. It might be better.
I'm surprised you weren't. So the Undertaker's driving a sandwich, and it's in last place because they can't figure out the controls.
Right.
Eventually, man, Jesus, like, all these cars, just to kind of show you the imagination input for, involved here, all the cars are equipped with magnetic boots for the riders so that they can jump out and...
It's very elaborate.
...make repairs mid-race.
Very aggressive.
And Kofi is riding a hoverboard drone.
This was the best part. This did not, like, this is all left field. Like, this is, like I said, you got to check out here. Dude, you got to remember, like, this is crazy.
When we were in, like, television school, John and I, and we were in writing class, I always wanted to do, like, kids TV. Because you could just get away with anything. You know,
like,
what
Kofi
I mean?
Kingston on a hoverboard reporting the news.
You don't have to have a reason for it. This technology doesn't have to be scientifically, you know...
You should.
Realistic.
Start something.
Maybe that's why, like, so many of the wrestling storylines are so, you know,
ridiculous.
Logically void, you know, these days.
Because
they're just, maybe just writing it for kids, and who cares?
Essentially, yeah. Well, I thought that was hilarious. Kofi Kingston is on a hoverboard.
Okay. So suddenly, what is it? The company car, Stefan Triple H are in the lead, and the Demon appears again.
Oh, boy.
And so the Demon sets this wooden bridge on fire that the superstars have to drive through. The Demon makes multiple attempts to stop the cars. He's specifically attacking Stephanie and Triple H. And Velma also at this point remarks that, hey, Vince McMahon is nowhere to be seen. What's going on here?
Suspect number two.
You thought it was Vince?
Because Vince McMahon is nowhere to be seen.
Wait a second. So you're buying directly into what they want you to think?
Of course. You have to. I'm going at it as
a child?
Know, yeah. I am a child. Basically, Vince McMahon told Stephanie, hey, you don't need to be racing. Like, this is dangerous. Don't do it. Please don't. And she says, Dad, like, you're crazy. I'm racing. And then he disappears when the Demon appears.
But to me, these are all telegraphs.
Yes.
Telling me that they aren't.
Yeah. But they still... In the normal Scooby-Doo, they basically throw three curves at you or something like that, and then it ends up being one.
So it's all a formula, like it always follows.
Yeah, this one, I have to say, I did see it coming, but we'll get to that.
Okay, so the first leg ends with the Authority and the League lead, and in between races, the wrestlers are interviewed backstage by Kofi and Michael Cole, and they all end up brawling somehow.
Yeah, this was the part of the movie that didn't need to, like, it didn't make sense.
They
just
fought.
Turned a food fight.
I guess it was like a 3-hour Raw. They needed some, like, food
matches.
Yeah,
it's like a food fight on the Thanksgiving episode, yeah.
So Miz and Paige, they split up. Lana and Rusev get into it, and then they split up, and so they swap teams.
Yes. Rusev fix was another joke in this movie, because his car needed some fixing, so.
So Dusty watches from the shadows and thinks this is all a sign of
exactly.
The curse of the Demon.
See?
Starting
Suspect.
Up.
Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, God. Okay.
Well, yeah.
So The Miz, at this point, Shaggy and Scooby wake up in the middle of the night to make a snack, and then they, of course, encounter the Demon again.
Mm-hmm.
The Miz actually has
jogging. He's jogging again.
He's
saying,
jogging.
I'm awesome.
And then he actually fights the Demon.
He whoops some ass,
yeah.
Man. He puts it in a figure four.
What was all this stuff about, like, the... Like, Daphne was constantly finding, like, talcum powder and little
Yeah, they're basically, they're trying to find clues because the Mystery Inc. always assumes, like, oh, it's a real ghost, it's a real monster, yet they find clues that kind of show you that it's not. It's usually just a guy in a costume, right? So...
Most of the time, it's not.
Usually, most of the time, it's actually just a guy in a mask.
Right? Has there ever been, like, an actual ghost?
Oh, for sure, many times. Many movies.
But most of the time, it's just like a person dressed up as a ghost.
Yeah, in the Scooby-Doo movie, the live action, one of the main jokes is like they finally they go to take the mask off and it's not coming off. It was actually like a real monster. So watch that movie; it was good.
All right,
Freddie Prinze Jr.
But I mean, I thought the whole thing with like the powder was just unnecessary.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in this movie that
just
are
just done to throw you off, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, leg two of the race, day two. Daphne again, or is it Velma? Velma notices that Vince is leaving.
Right.
Or somebody notices Vince is always
again,
taking off.
Again, he's not even there. He's just leaving.
Leg two of the race is on water, and the cars turn into hovercrafts.
This is strange. All the cars are like going onto water, and Triple H's car decides that it's gonna just drive on water, and they go Triple H.
The rest of the cars are submerged.
Like going in.
No, don't they all dive back up and turn?
I know, but it was Triple H essentially the first one, like first
yeah, the
guy, and Michael Cole is like Triple H, like is so good that he can drive on water, and I'm like, dude, you call yourself the King of Kings, and now you're essentially walking on water. Like, come on. That was like a subtle little thing, but like, okay. I loved it.
So the demon, of course, appears again, and Triple H at this point bursts out of his suit with his magnetic boots.
He flexes and it breaks out, yeah.
He becomes pro wrestler Triple H, and he takes on the demon. And
all while they're still racing. This is like on top of the car. This is some Fast and the Furious shit right
now. Oh, I know. But Team Taker has to come in and save Triple H.
Right.
So a rare occurrence.
Because Taker's still mad, right? Like, this guy injured his partner. So right. Taker is seeking out revenge.
Yes, that was the motivation. The demon leads Taker into a waterfall. And as Team Taker and Shaggy and Scooby in the sandwich car is approaching, falling down the waterfall.
They're about to die. Horrible death.
They fall through. They end up...
dead.
Did they crash?
Basically, the food truck, the sandwich
the
car,
Scoobinator.
Goes over the waterfall, and you see Undertaker at the last second, because it's a food truck. He grabs a bunch of Link sausages, and he grabs Scooby and Shaggy in one arm each piece, lassos it up the waterfall, and the sausages save the Undertaker and Scooby-Doo and Shaggy's life. Yeah. Boom.
Yes, yes.
That happened.
So, yes, the Undertaker is saved from a falling waterfall.
Sausages.
Via Sausage Link.
It's amazing.
What am I watching?
Yeah, at that point I was like, all right.
What am I watching here?
And Kofi Kingston is on his hoverboard filming the whole thing. Like, oh, I found them. And he's got like the camera. It's pretty.
So Taker is now sad that he has no more car and he cannot enter the race. And so we see a rare glimpse of the Undertaker actually showing some real emotion here and just visibly upset because he says that he was going to use his prize money to create...
This is my favorite part. This is my favorite part.
To create the Undertaker's comedy theater and puppet jubilee.
This was really funny because there's a joke. I've been watching the new Scooby-Doo series. There's a new show. Like Cartoon Network has a new Scooby-Doo show called Be Cool Scooby-Doo, I think. And it's still like it's ongoing right now. It's in its first season. It is actually so funny. They take the Camp WWE direction of being like a
more adult swim?
But it's not adult. It's just written like a Family Guy but a PG Family Guy. It's actually well written for a kid's show. And this joke is in one of the episodes that I watched.
Wait a second.
Except this is the Undertaker doing it.
Comedy theater and puppet jubilee?
Yeah, later on, Undertaker actually has puppets. I don't know if he brings the puppets out here or at the end, but...
So the Undertaker says, what? I love puppets.
Yeah, like, hey, I love puppets. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
I want to start my own comedy.
I really wish I watched this movie with a child. Because I feel as a little kid,
like
would probably
love
this joke. And again, I feel like this is a common thing we talk about when reviewing Raw is like, there are a lot of jokes clearly aimed towards children.
Yeah.
That I don't think I look at this and I just like,
well, I laughed out loud at this joke. So clearly
maybe I should just watch Raw with you. Yeah.
I loved Undertaker saying that he wants to get money. First of all, Undertaker needs money to start the Undertaker comedy theater and puppet jubilee. Like, that happened. That's a thing.
Okay.
After saving people with sausages.
Part of me wonders, though, how much exactly the writers of this show watch wrestling, and I'm thinking zero, because there's really no reference at all to...
But they all do, like, their catchphrases. Like, Triple H has all his catchphrases.
I feel like you probably had somebody from the company just be like, oh, feed him this line.
Yeah,
like, this is what he does.
For sure, yeah.
Wouldn't it have been way better if, like, this actually, like, referenced... You know,
I feel like, honestly, I don't want to say I was let down by both of these movies because it's like, it's Scooby-Doo. It's a talking dog and like mysteries and stuff like that. But I feel like you're right. If they kind of made it more of like, I don't know, Scooby and Shaggy are at Monday Night Raw and then someone haunts the
arena.
Which kind
of was the first one, I guess.
Yeah. If they said Braden Harrington, you write the next one, I would write a masterpiece because I know both wrestling and Scooby-Doo so well.
I know. So, they should have hired
you. That's it.
Really.
I'll write a script and send it to them and we'll do it.
So the other superstars now are accusing the authority of working with the demon.
Yes.
Because they're constantly in the lead of these races.
Yeah,
so.
The demon keeps coming out, but yet Stephanie and Triple H are always first place. So
you know, to kind of dispel those rumors, Stephanie offers to relinquish their head start for tomorrow's race. And Stephanie has a big character moment here where Daphne is trying to, you know, like, bond with her. And then Stephanie's like, she's complaining that her father would never give them the win or help them cheat.
Yes.
She complains that she actually has to work harder than anyone to impress her dad, and that he actually works them harder because they're family. I'm not sure why this was in there, other than to, you
to
know,
say that.
To again, once again, put over like
Stephanie.
Well,
Sheamus says this smells like an angle in this movie. He says, this smells like an angle. So.
But I mean, this line is just like
strange. No, it's definitely.
Maybe it was meant to throw you off. Maybe it did work because it kind of baby faces Stephanie.
A little bit.
To me, it just felt like more company speak. We want to teach children now. Yes. Hey, Stephanie McMahon.
She's not just a billionaire princess or whatever.
Anyway.
But remember here now, The Undertaker and Scooby and Shaggy don't have a car.
Yeah.
That is until Fred Jones does his best exhibit impersonation and pimps the Mystery Machine into this insane car that can fly and like, dude, I don't even know.
I don't know why he didn't do this in
why
first
didn't
place?
You just do that the first time?
Yeah.
Because like it's insane. Like the Mystery Machine is a sexy car.
Oh yeah.
And now it's they have nice. It pimped out to the max, man.
Mm-hmm. Like,
so they're ready to race.
And now the whole gang gets to race. I say gang.
You're supposed to say gang.
Yeah. Because they're
gang.
Actual
gang.
Yeah, so now they all get to race and they're all backing in. So now the Undertaker is driving the Mystery Machine, which for just, you
oh man.
I mean, you were probably very excited.
Yeah, I'd rather not say.
Final leg of the race, the gang figures out that the demon's car is remote controlled.
Yes.
And so
Velma figures this out, my girl Velma. I wish she had more in this movie, but she figures this out, yes.
They plan to override the demon's rig with their own controller that they've created. So they plan on getting close to the demon car so that they can control it with a remote.
This is really silly.
So the demon arrives, all the superstars decide to gang up and unite to go after the demon. El Torito gets some shine here as the Sheamus, who brings out an actual sword.
He has a Celtic sword in his car. I'm pretty sure that's not legal.
You know, but they, of course they're unsuccessful. The Fred attempts to use his remote, but he loses it. He just drops it because he's an idiot.
He's aloof.
Yeah, and so Taker at this point leaves the Mystery Machine to go physically attack the demon in a fight, and Cole calls the match.
Yeah, this is like a match here. Cole's calling it.
And so Cole's telling us, wow, they're so evenly matched, The Undertaker and this demon. They approach Dead Man's Curve, which is a section of
the race track.
Like a big jump on this, the main jump of this track. Now Shaggy and Scooby are put in a position to drive the Mystery Machine because The Undertaker's gone.
Yep.
And they lack the confidence because they're usually just riding shotgun.
They're usually smoking up in the back,
And they're high.
Yeah.
So they need the confidence. And so I guess it's Velma who tells them, hey, you guys have eaten so many pretzels modeled after the track. You know every curve of this track.
Pretty ridiculous.
I guarantee you John Pollock's not even listening to this.
No.
I can't imagine him like going through this.
This is what he would do. He would do this.
Yeah.
That's his reaction to this.
He does that.
Yeah, this didn't really... They make mention of the pretzel early on. It's a stretch. Like, it's a far stretch. They basically know the track because they've been eating the pretzels based on the track at the park. And because they eat so many of them, they know what they're doing. And
of course, Shaggy and Scooby end up winning the race.
Yes, the Mystery Machine Team Taker Legends, whatever, they win first place. But they land, and the demon and Undertaker are still fighting.
They're still fighting.
As they land.
And so the Taker and demon actually have a match.
Yeah.
And Taker delivers a last ride powerbomb to the demon. But
Then there's a "this is awesome" chant when he does it.
Was there really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was piped in. Yeah, yeah, it was great. It was like a SmackDown episode. They piped it in.
Yeah, and then there was a two count. He says the last rider was for Dusty, but then he pulls out the actual finisher.
Oh, my goodness.
Tombstone Piledriver. And this demon, like, turns gray. He, like,
kills him. It's a tombstone. Have you ever been tombstoned? It probably kills you. If you hit it for real. I mean, he hit it for real here. This is on the dirt. This is on the gravel, the ground.
So the demon's dead, and they...
Where's Finn Balor in this? They should have waited. The speed demon.
Should be in the next one,
yeah,
really.
He's the next villain.
They unmask the demon.
And who is it?
Who is it? Tell me, at this point, let's round up all the suspects. Who did you think?
Okay, well, I also had another suspect, which we didn't even mention, okay, which is the mechanic Earl. Taker's mechanic Earl.
Yes.
We skipped over. He's not an important character in this.
Everybody's a suspect.
Basically, they wanted you to believe that it could be Dusty, it could be Triple H, it could be Earl. And it is, in fact, Triple H.
Dun, dun.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
Time to play the game.
Yes. Yeah. Triple H is the villain. And then it turns out that it's not just Triple H. It's also his wife, Stephanie, is in on it as well. And
Jesus.
That they've, you know, they've coordinated this whole plan to have the remote-controlled cars. And, in fact, inflatable dummies of themselves to look like they were driving when, in fact, they were dressed up as the demon.
Oh, God.
Very elaborate plan here.
What a swerve.
Yeah.
What a swerve. I mean, just like this past Monday on Raw.
Triple H.
Just like the guy who hit Austin with the car.
Exactly.
Triple H.
Always
the
ultimate
H.
heel is the villain.
What, they couldn't have given this to, like, you know, Rusev or something? Build a new star?
Exactly. LOL, new stars. I like this. I thought it was
funny.
Did
you like the swerve? Did you actually
like it? Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought,
like,
I knew. I had a feeling. Because Triple H was kind of... He had his moments, but it wasn't... It's Triple H, again. Like I mentioned earlier, like, oh, they had to have that subtle thing like, oh, Triple H's car can drive on water. The king of kings. Like
to throw you off.
Right. But also, it's like... I was like, okay, Triple H is on the cover of this movie. It's Triple H. And Triple H and Stephanie have kids who, you know, are probably seen this movie a million times by now. And this movie just came out like a little while ago. So I assume they need a key part in this movie. And if they're not Shaggy and Scooby or The Undertaker, well, then they need to be the villain in this one. So I
thought it was a little too predictable, man.
It was a little bit, but...
Top heel is the top heel. Oh,
I liked it. It was so funny to see Triple H be unmasked and then Stephanie McMahon to say, I would have got away with it if it wasn't for you.
Stephanie says she does all this. I suppose this is the point of that last scene with Stephanie. Steph says she did it all just to win her dad's approval.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been there, right? Like, you got to do what you got to do to get
your parents.
You got to
dress up as a demon.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me exactly, like... They went on to talk about how, and this is what, like, this is the problem I had, even for a kid's movie. It was just how they would go on and, because they threw you off by showing Triple H fight the demon. And so how could Triple H
yes.
be the demon at the same time? And they explained that it was actually Stephanie dressed up as the demon.
Fighting Triple H.
But then who was driving the car?
It was a blow-up doll of Stephanie that they mentioned.
Driving the car?
Yeah, with the remote.
How could... So
it doesn't make sense. 100%.
How can Stephanie drive the car while she's pretending
right.
to be the demon?
You're right. You're not wrong. You're not wrong
this
at all.
This is fucking bullshit.
It's essentially like, yeah, they mentioned that there's blow up dolls of, and that's where the powder comes in because the dolls are full of the powder.
What?
I don't remember. I don't know, man. I didn't write this. Don't take it out on me. I'm just saying that's what they say. That's their excuse.
Come on.
So
even for a kids show, I expect a bit more thought.
That's what I'm saying. Let me write it, man. I'll fucking write a great piece. Listen,
I was
they
not
say,
happy with that.
You're not happy with the ending or just
no.
the movie?
I was not happy with the their explanation.
Yeah, okay. Okay. It could have been better.
Too convenient.
It could have been. Yeah, it could have been better. They could have just easily have written like Stephanie off. Maybe Vince was like, "Hey, you shouldn't race." So, okay, I won't. And then like. She's secretly helping Triple H win or something.
We're probably putting a bit too much thought
into this yeah.
Scooby-Doo mystery.
This was probably written in like 5 minutes.
Yeah. So Taker, I guess with his winnings, finally gets to build his puppet theater. Shaggy and Scooby, with their winnings, decide to donate.
To Dusty Rhodes. They give it to him so he can have money for his family.
Like, I'm weird. Thinking, what, for Stardust and Goldust? Like, I don't think they need money that
They don't
bad.
Even mention them, that they're, like, related. I don't
know. They do,
Maybe
actually.
They do at the end.
They show them together, and
yeah,
they're, like...
Yeah, it's weird.
But... Pop, they're, like, dad, you know?
It's so strange. So, they also make... They also, like, the alibi of Vince McMahon is given that the reason he kept walking away and was disappearing right. was because he was practicing to sing the national anthem, and he does at the very end, and I was laughing at that
was
too.
Funny.
It was so funny.
Yeah, Vince singing
Vince McMahon,
anthem.
Like, purposely singing awfully yeah. the national anthem. Hopefully it was purposely. And
all right.
And that's it. And all is well in Coolsville and Mania and all that jazz.
I'm not going to rate this. Because I don't think I'm qualified, okay? And I think you can assume what I thought of it. But I want to know from a Scooby-Doo fan, somebody who they're directly targeting, what did you think of Scooby-Doo and WWE Curse of the Speed Demon?
There's actually a movie called Scooby-Doo and the Reluctant Werewolf from 1988. And it's all about racing as well. Instead, it's Shaggy is somehow being turned into a werewolf. And he has to face all the Hollywood monsters like Dracula, the creature, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Except it's all about racing there. So I feel like they just kind of jacked that and put it into this.
It's been like 40, 30 years.
Yeah, yeah. This one was not – I don't know which one was better either, the Mania one or this one. Again, I don't know. You're right. You kind of have to have a kid decide, like an actual – like to see – I feel like if I was a little kid, this would be fantastic. I would just go.
Okay, as an adult Scooby-Doo.
It was fine. I've seen way worse. I've seen worse Scooby-Doo movies. I've seen worse everything. So it wasn't fun. I was entertained. I kind of knew going into this, I need to just take an hour and 20 minutes or whatever it is and just take it for what it is. So it was fine. But yeah, not my favorite one.
Is there a way to gauge the success of this Warner Brothers animation Scooby-Doo?
I hope they don't
stop.
Yeah,
partnership.
I would make other movies with this, but you know what? Like, yeah, maybe make it a little, I don't know, more realistic.
See, I feel like even for a kids show, you could
do a lot more.
You could. I would personally like to see like better integration with the actual wrestling
yeah,
itself.
Yeah.
What am I even giving my criticism for? Like, this is not for me. Like,
I'm telling you, all they need is for me. Like, hey, like, you know. There's a ghost and he's stopping the wrestlers from having their matches. And it's like, you can go off that. I don't know. But it wasn't bad. It wasn't the worst Scooby-Doo thing. But again, like when I used to watch these Scooby-Doo movies, my favorite was the Zombie Island one from like the late 90s. That one is really good. People love that one. But this one, you know, it's just okay. This one's really geared towards the kids. And it's okay because that's exactly what it's for. So, yeah, I don't know what I would rate it.
Come on. Just give me 1 out of 10.
I'll give it a 6.
6 out of 10?
Yeah, from me.
Okay.
Just
cool.
Because, you know, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't below grade, but...
What are some other crossovers you'd love to see the WWE produce?
Ooh. Something to do with, like, the Ninja Turtles. Cartoon, though. Cartoon,
damn.
Not live action. I don't want to see none of this. Because Sheamus now, you know, he's got his foot in the door. He can be like, hey, let's get this Ninja Turtles
yeah.
going on. I haven't watched Ninja Turtle cartoons in years. I'm a fan of the old school 80s one. I got the Van DVD set. I got everything. But maybe that. What would you see?
I'd love to see the WWE team up with like the Care Bears.
Okay.
And that'd be fucking awesome.
No, that's a little too young. Like you need to keep it at like a 13-year-old.
If there's
age.
Like a match between like
that guy. What's the villain's name in Care Bears?
I don't know. No, I'm thinking of like a bear. One of the Care Bears taking.
We already saw the bear way in the last Mania
yeah,
mystery.
Me and Care Bear.
There you go. That's the prequel to that yeah. episode. Why is there a scary bear? It's because the WWE abandoned them.
Like Kevin Owens versus a Care Bear would be the greatest.
I definitely want to see Kevin Owens in one of these movies. Like,
oh yeah,
that's what I mean. So like, continue them. Like, don't stop doing them. But...
Maybe that's my other question. Who would you like to see them cast? As part of the next WWE.
Yeah,
movie.
Right. To be honest, I really wanted to see Triple H in one because I know like he's got kids and like man, just to
what
I know for
you,
a fact.
You want wait a second. You want them to cast Triple H just to satisfy the McMahon grandchildren?
Man, I would be. It's
who
my.
Cares?
It's, he's got ego, right?
No, like, listen. Those ego. Kids are already privileged enough.
I know, but like how
rich
cool
little
is that?
White girls. You don't need to give them any more.
I'm just thinking like if I had that opportunity and like. I would totally just put myself.
What about
in there.
What about Zack Ryder's kids? Okay, if he had kids.
Yeah, yeah. Zack Ryder's I love Zack Ryder, don't get me wrong. I'm actually a huge Zack Ryder fan. I just don't know if he's needed in one of these movies. I would put Kevin Owens in one. I would put... it's too bad about Hulk Hogan, because you need the cartoony characters. Like, too bad Jeff Hardy's not here
I think
anymore.
They could do, like, a team like the Vaudevillains. You know, they translate easily.
They'll be gone before the next one.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Let's look at the roster and think who'd make for a good cartoon character. I think, I mean, the
Brock Lesnar is definitely going to be in one.
Enzo and Cass?
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe.
Yeah. You need the cartoony guys. Right?
The
like,
New Day, of course.
Some people.
Yeah. The New Day, of
course.
I mean,
you got Kofi as the reporter, but there was no mention of the New Day in this.
But I feel like what about Braun Strowman?
No. You get put Brock.
He's a cartoony guy.
No,
Brock is not doing this. Okay, Brock's not coming in for.
Excuse me. You don't need to have him talk. You just have Paul Heyman's voice. Done. Write it. Book it.
Paul Heyman would be pretty great in this.
I hope they continue these things, but make it less. This is legit. Like a side scrap storyline that they just mixed with WWE. Like take a few more minutes and make something that's a little bit better. Maybe.
I wish they would make a cartoon just for like the internet. Wrestling fan.
That'd you know be great, I mean? Yeah.
You just have, like, Kevin Owens and Finn Balor and
AJ. There you
AJ
go. And they actually have matches.
That'd and be... Dave Meltzer will be in it.
You can
and,
rate it.
Yeah. Gabe Sapolsky will pop up here and there.
You should... Listen, I think they should take the new Scooby-Doo TV show, which is called Be Cool Scooby-Doo again, and they should take that and mix it with WWE.
So you're saying that's...
It's more modern. It's more like... The kids would get it. More WWE fans would like it more. Like, this one, it would be geared to... How old do you think kids would like this one? Like, young for these ones.
Two.
Yeah, like, this is real, like,
Three.
Real childish.
2 months.
The new Scooby-Doo show is more like, I don't know, like, a little older. So I think that's geared towards it. I think that would work better. The animation is different, too. So.
Bailey.
Oh, man. Bailey. How did we miss that? That's the number one character that needs to be
Bailey should
Scooby-Doo.
Have a starring role.
She should be the star of this next book. Book it.
And Eva Marie, of course.
No. Come on. Recently dyed her hair black. Did you see
what? That?
Did you have her on Snapchat?
She dyed her hair black.
You need to get her on Snapchat. What?
Wait, what's the story there?
She sent out a snap and she dyed her hair, man.
What, is she done with the company then?
I don't know. She's suspended right now, so, you know.
Wait a second. No, I gotta see this.
I don't know if you'll find pictures. She's on her Snapchat, man.
Oh, it's only on her Snapchat?
Only lasts for 10 seconds.
Yeah,
10 seconds
whatever.
Of heaven.
All right, we got no feedback. Nobody.
No one
decided,
watched
nobody decided to watch this.
No one has to anymore, so it's mine.
But if you do want to watch it, you can, of course, go out and grab the DVD, or you can rent it off of YouTube for like $5.
Yep.
So go and do that this
Zoinks.
Weekend.
Zoinks. Man.
Jinkies.
What was your favorite character out of the gang, though, by the way, just before we go?
Okay, let me think about that.
Because you don't watch Scooby-Doo,
nope.
So you don't have, like... Everyone goes to Shaggy and Scooby.
Fred is a dud. I think very unlikable.
People like Daphne because she's hot.
Yeah.
Sarah Michelle Gellar was
Daphne's
her
pretty
movie,
cute.
So.
Velma's all right.
I'll take it easy. She's taken.
Yeah. I can't. I mean, I guess I'll go with Daphne.
All right. That's
sure.
Fine. That's all right.
No, I'm not.
You take
even.
Daphne, I'll take Velma. We're good.
All right.
We
done.
Got double dates.
Done.
We're good.
Right.
There's a Scooby Doo porn parody, which is fun. You should check that out.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
Yeah, sure you haven't. Let's review that.
I don't even need notes. It's in my head. I
so
know
what are they like? The obviously, there's a mystery. Like, they have sex with a ghost, I guess.
Well, it's like I said, where Fred's like, hey, let's...
We definitely, Tom probably won't be happy, but he'll probably...
Yeah, that's where
this.
He's like, come on. Yeah.
Is that you recommend that one?
It's no Queen of the Ring way, but it's good. You know, it's good.
You can't top that. All right, anything else, Braden? What else is new with you?
That's it. We're watching wrestling.
Yeah, where can we hear you? Give your thoughts.
You can hear me every Thursday with Jason Agnew on What's Next. We talk about NXT wrestling. And for a few more weeks, you'll also hear this fine gentleman, Wei, with CW Scene.
Mm-hmm.
And,
only two more episodes left.
Well, there's some live ones too, is there not?
I mean, there's the... We just did episode 8 on Wednesday. Or sorry, Thursday. We go and check that out.
Right.
And so there's two more episodes after that.
Yes.
So we have the next semifinal, or sorry, the next quarterfinals, and then the semifinals and the finals will be on the same show.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. So yeah, we're it's coming to an end. What are we going to do after? I won't talk to you anymore.
Not until there's another Scooby-Doo movie, I suppose.
Okay.
This might be the last one for me, though. I think John might have to take over for this one.
I don't know if he will, but sure. I don't know who else will review Scooby-Doo, but I'm sure they're going to do other cartoons. So
what else is under the Warner Brothers cartoon?
Well, I mean,
thing?
Flintstones and Scooby-Doo were Hanna-Barbera, which were bought. So
yeah. I guess they could do the Jetsons, but like nobody cares
oh,
about
it. Oh, dude, that'd be sick. That'd be lit.
Okay. And what else?
Fuck, I have no idea.
All right, whatever.
That's it. Yeah.
So, yeah, go and check out Braden at the Brady on Twitter. Cut your promos on him. You know, he's the subject of a lot of criticism.
So this guy Tim said, I swear too much. Then he entered your promo contest. Your contest.
Hashtag PWTS promo. He won himself a t-shirt by submitting a 30-second promo to @LawRadio on Twitter, hashtag PWTS promo. And he cut a scathing promo on Braden, which...
He cut a promo because he tweeted me a little while ago before he cut the promo saying that I swear too much. And I'm like... I feel for you. I understand because
you don't swear that much.
I don't swear that much, but I mean, I could. I guess I don't know.
Okay.
And he said, "I stopped swearing." So he then cut a promo and won. So I was like, "Wow!" Like blah blah blah. And people were replying on Twitter, coming to my side, coming to my aid, defending me, saying, "Oh, like screw off, whatever, whatever." Tim just tweeted me last night, two nights ago, whenever it was, and last week I was on vacation. In Grand Bend in Ontario. It's a beach here. Tim cut a new promo in front of the Grand Bend sign at the fucking place. And cut a new promo. It's getting personal, man.
Holy shit.
Following me. He's
tracking you.
I'm scared, man.
Cutting a promo at you from Grand Bend.
I feel like I need to cut a promo back, but...
Yeah, when are you going to do it?
I'll enter the contest.
You're like Meek Mill now.
Oh,
when
man.
When are you going
to
respond?
He's gone back to back, literally.
Yeah.
Tim, or he's gone back to back, and I have done nothing. I got to ether him, man. I got to do it. I got to ether him.
Are you going to enter?
I'll enter this next week. I'll enter soon. It's got to be you got to film it.
Because we desperately need entries.
All right.
So we'll get you a free shirt as well.
Monday, I'll come in before you guys do Review of Raw.
Okay.
And
I think you should show up to where he works. Where
I'll find
lives.
You, man. You in Grand Bend? Where are you?
Yeah.
I'll find you.
Cut a promo in front of his house. How about that?
If you haven't seen these, go to my – I've posted them on my Twitter, at TheBrayD. They're pretty funny to his extent. They're good promos.
Good, good.
Like, I'm pretty sure Jay-Z was like, nah, like that Ether track, that was a solid diss track. Like, you got me. Biggie was like, yo, Pac, like hit him up. That was a joint. Like,
wow.
That you got me. But I'm coming for you.
Gotcha. All right, well, Braden, I look forward to hearing your rebuttal.
Thank you.
Hashtag PWTS promo, and you could win yourself a free t-shirt if you want to weigh in on the whole thing. He's at the Brady. Before we go, I want to kick Braden out of this room and welcome back in the man who owns the place, the face that runs the place, vacationing man himself, John Pollock, as we announce the Review Away 7th Anniversary Review coming in 2 weeks.
Ta-da! I'm here.
Welcome back.
It's good to be back, Wei. What a vacation where I think I've been on just about every show this week.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, John. So
that was a stellar review, by the way. I was just standing here. Listening to you two for the last hour and a half.
Oh.
And I could have watched the movie probably twice in that time, but instead I really enjoyed the banter and the wit of both of you together.
Did you really? Will you be going back and rewatching Scooby-Doo, Curse of the Speed Demon?
No, because I got my fill from you two. You two are the Luke Rockhold and Demi Lovato of the Law family. You guys are the hot couple.
I didn't even know they were dating.
Well, now you know.
Wow.
That's what TMZ tells me.
Well, okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for informing us. And
but speaking of couples, Wei, we're about to celebrate an anniversary.
Yes, we are. Our 7th anniversary. Is there a name for these things? 7th.
The magnificent 7th anniversary.
That sounds lame. All right.
How many people out there have had relationships 7 years long, Wei? Outside of my wife. You're the longest relationship I've ever had.
Yeah, I think you made this joke before.
I probably made it around the 6th and 5th anniversaries, which would be accurate as well.
Okay. Well, that's nice. Let's just pick our review for next week. What do you think the people want to see us review live And of course, remember that we opened it up to every review, even the ones we've actually reviewed. This will be a different review, of course. We'll be watching it live, just like last year, and you can watch along with us. So what do you think people want to see us watch with them?
Well, my expectation, not looking at the thread yet, will be a train wreck show. I think that's what people want.
Yeah, let's just go through some of these, and maybe one of them will pop up. And we haven't even looked at this yet, so maybe something will pop up in that. Well, you know, and if you're not happy with our selection, well, then too bad. Wait till next year. So up first, we have Hacksaw Jim Powers, who really wants us to review some USWA from 1993 featuring the Vince McMahon run. Where he invaded Jerry Lawler's Memphis territory.
Some very good stuff.
Okay. What do you think is the likelihood?
Probably unlikely, because to watch this, it's in so many different parts, and a lot of it is promos. And I don't know how well that really lends itself to a live viewing.
Mm-hmm. I
think it'd be a lot of us just sitting there listening and not so much watching. I think this review should be an event.
I'd like to actually review this maybe some other time, like just
I would love to
as an actual review. Somebody's suggesting WrestleMania 6 or Ground Zero, which was of course our first pay-per-view review that we've done on the show. Any of those jump out?
I mean, Ground Zero, that was our first date. WrestleMania 6. I don't know.
Yeah.
Neither of them jump out at
me. Not really.
But
all right. Some September pay-per-views being suggested: In Your House 10, Unforgiven 03 or 07. Somebody wants to see, you just speak up if anything pops
up. Can anyone tell me off the top of your head what In Your House 10 was?
Absolutely not. Carmen Electra's Naked Wrestling that,
no,
I attended personally. King of the Ring 1994 with Art Donovan, a classic. Again, yeah, that's for me, that's a maybe.
You know what? His other option is actually my favorite so far. It's not just One Night Stand 2005, but it's watching it with JBL's commentary.
Okay.
Because I've never listened to the JBL version.
Is the JBL version available, like, readily available?
It's on the DVD, I think.
But is it on the network? Like, the whole thing is, I feel like we should pick something that's on the network that people can watch along with us, right?
Fair enough.
So I'd love to, but we'll think about it. Heroes of Wrestling is being suggested, another classic, which we've already reviewed, but I'd love to go back and watch live with everybody.
That was one of our very first reviews with Bill Stone, the executive producer, probably the first guest we ever had.
Yeah. Somebody else was suggesting King of the Ring 95, Ground Zero, another one, and then The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke. Don't know. Probably not that one. Unforgiven 1999. Was that the review that like took us a bunch of times to record?
Yes.
Okay. It's another one. Hood Slam.
All right. Hood Slam. That's not a bad one.
Yeah. But again, like, how accessible is it for people?
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
God, why don't you go through some of these? Because my computer's just really acting up here. I don't know how you do shows in this room, man. I don't know how you use the internet in this room. It's... Fucking,
do you have the do you have the cable?
I got my iPad. Like, it's my computer's in repair, so I can't even do it.
Oh yeah, the wireless.
Why don't you go through the second page?
Okay, I'm still on the first one here. Oh no, I'm not. You're right. Second page. All right. Botchamania. Another one for Unforgiven 99. This is not even people want it. They just want to torture us with Unforgiven 99. I mean, what an unspectacular show to go back and rewatch for what would be a fourth time in our history.
I honestly don't remember a thing from it, so it would be brand new to me, actually.
Hey, John and Wei, I'd love to hear you guys review the July 14th, 1997 edition of Monday Night War. There is only one reason I want to hear you guys review this show. Jerry Lawler and Brian Christopher team up to face Scott and Ivan Putski. I think he means Raw and not Monday Night War. But that show also features Taka Michinoku against Tajiri and the returning Headbangers.
All right. I don't know. I don't think that's big enough. What is that? What is the Wrestling Classic?
The Wrestling Classic is technically their first pay-per-view. It was in 1985, and it was a tournament.
Okay.
That aired on pay-per-view.
Okay, sounds interesting. Not really.
Another one for Ground Zero. One for Money in the Bank 2011, which was John Cena against CM Punk after the big promo. Taboo Tuesday 2004. Please, such a fun show from Gaurav. Wrestle Kingdom 3.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't know about that one.
Okay, next one here. You guys need something crazy. I would suggest JCW Bloody Mania 3 featuring the retirement match of Abdullah the Butcher and Ken Shamrock's return to the wrestling ring. Let us do a quick search here and see if Bloody Mania 3... Oh, it is up here. No, Bloody Mania 4 is available. They certainly have a lot of lengthy shows that we can watch. Next up, I'd also like to suggest that you guys watch Chikara or CZW. I'd suggest a King of the Trios 2010 or Chikarasaurus Rex. He goes on. I guess some of these way we have the problem of...
Yeah.
If people can't watch these, it kind of defeats the purpose have companion view.
I've already kind of like gone through all of them, even the third page. I'll say the ones that definitely pop out to me personally are Ground Zero, Unforgiven 99, or... what's another one that I guess would be interesting?
Sorry, what was the first one you said before Unforgiven?
Ground Zero.
Ground Zero, Unforgiven. There were some King of the Ring options
King of the Ring 95, you know.
94 and 95 were suggested.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I thought for sure we would get tons of WCW options, and I don't think we got any here. I mean, they kind of lend themselves well, but if no one wants to hear those, then we can go with what is suggested. As I'm just scrolling through here, if any come to mind. I mean, there is Heroes of Wrestling.
Oh, yeah, that as well.
Heroes of Wrestling is on YouTube, the entire show, so I'm not too worried about people finding it. Could do that one. I will lean Heroes of Wrestling. That will be my choice.
Done.
For the anniversary.
Done. Congratulations, Heroes of Wrestling.
It's a simple search on YouTube. Heroes of Wrestling pay-per-view. 2.5 hours. Wei and I, it's been long enough. It's been 7 years. I'm willing to watch this again.
You want
to
play 21?
I got 22. You want to play blackjack? I got two of those, too. You want to play aces and eights? Maybe I got too many of those, too. Bottom line is this. You do not gamble with me.